97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
You know, Sue, sometimes I try to customize the bumper music for a guest if I know the person's musical taste. And this one was easy. Bernie Miklos is with us this afternoon. Bernie, it had to be Bruce, right? How are you? Welcome to the show.
First of all, great to be back with you. Just to talk with you again and in effect, work together with you again. And I have to say, Mark, yeah, I was anticipating a little walk-in music.
Of course,
Yes, but well done and thank you.
Now, I always your name comes up every once in a while when I'm in the East Street world, and I always have to say I've seen in the mid 40s. I've lost track of shows, but you're like well into the hundreds seeing the East Street Band, aren't you?
Yeah, I think maybe 125, 130. The thing I've slowed down, though.
Yes.
I mean, I haven't to shows. Yeah, I have not been to shows in a long time. And I'm not trying to avoid them. It's just, I don't know. It's weird. I love them. They're all events, and they're all unique into themselves, except it's maybe I just like to stay home. I don't know what it is.
Well, it's old age. I get it. You know, look, and I remember I was messaging you when I was in Barcelona last year because I was trying to let as many fans that I knew know that it was an amazing experience seeing the opening of the European tour. And that was something that was on my bucket list for a long time. But let's talk some sports here, Bernie Miklos. And you mentioned we're kind of working together because you're doing some stuff down the hall at my former station, KMOX, on a regular basis. And I thought this would be a good week to get you on talking about some baseball, et cetera. Let's start with what happened last night. You know, I spent almost 10 years in Milwaukee. I am married to a Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin native, and we were watching that game last night. I can certainly root for the crew, Bernie, outside of the Cardinals, and that, boy, that was devastating. I didn't even text any of my friends up there because I know how painful that must have been for them.
That was the first postseason game I watched in its entirety, part of this first week. And listen, I never hesitate to say this. I really like the Milwaukee Brewers, and I'm not saying this as like a fan. I mean, I'm a fan of what they do, but it's like it's not like a disloyal thing, to St. Louis. They're such a smart organization. They're so well run. They spend their money so wisely. They're always well managed, well coached. They have their minor leagues. The way they train and develop players, and they make them smart and they get them ready. I mean, they find bargains. The Cardinals will spend $15 million for a pitcher. The Brewers will get a better pitcher for, say, $7 million. I mean, they do that all the time. And despite having a much lower payroll over the years than the Cardinals, they continue to outperform the Cardinals. So I have immense respect for the Brewers. Yeah. I wish the Cardinals were that smart, and they're not. I wish they were. So I was bothered last night. I wanted them to win. And one of the reasons was Devin Williams, Hazelwood native, and, really great guy, great closer. I felt so bad for him in particular. And it's, let me ask you this as a Brewers fan. You know, what is it? I learned with Tony La Russa, he'd have all those great teams and they didn't do well in the playoffs for a while. And playoffs are random. And people don't want to hear it, but sometimes there's just no explaining it. But why do you think the Brewers have had such a hard time breaking through in the postseason?
I don't know, but it's painful for the fans. Look, when I moved there in 1997, and it was interesting, Bernie, because I moved in June of 1997. I could barely find baseball in the Journal Sentinel. They were already talking about the Packers. Now, that was the 4 months after Brett Favre won. But they have a lot of bad memories, of course, from 1982, so they don't like the Cardinals very much because that still sticks in their head. But you're right, though. They just can't seem to get over the hump, even when things are working their way. And you could feel the air just completely going out of what I still call Miller Park last night, and it devastating. And that, and then for Pete Alonso, a guy that most of us don't like, I mean, certainly a talented baseball player, but a big meathead, for him to be the guy that hit the home run, right?
Yeah, that's right. No, it's, listen, I love watching baseball there too. I've had some personal experiences in Milwaukee, like covering baseball primarily, where, I would go with a couple of the ball writers up there, and they would take me to these neighborhood places just for a couple beers and maybe some cheese curds. And
oh, yeah.
Maybe because I was a big guy, I'm just like a big guy. Oh, here comes the big guy. They treated me like I was a native Wisconsin. And I'm just like, oh, come on over here, big fella, have a beer with us. And like, they didn't know who I was.
That's are up there, though. They're great.
They adopted me. Every time I walked into a joint, they would adopt me. One time at Lambeau Field, I get out of my car and I'm going to, you know, getting into the, you know, the stadium lot, and everyone's tailgating. I got stopped like five times. You know why? Because I'm a big guy that looks like I could use a bratwurst, right? And they're like, big fella, hey, come. Oh, you meaty? Yeah, I'm meaty. Where are you from? I'm from St. Louis. Oh, come on over here and have a brat with us, you know. I mean, what a great place.
Well, they are like that. The Wisconsin people are definitely like that. It's a very, very friendly state. Are the St. Louis Cardinals fans being too harsh? I don't think they are, but let's ask the question this way. The Cardinals did have a much better season than the last year, Bernie. What the hell is going on?
Well, they let things slide, and, you know, they got away from their strength, which is player development, having a great farm system, being really, really smart in terms of teaching and instructing players. They cut back, you know, fun-wise. They cut back staff-wise. And it just got away from them, and I'm really surprised that it happened, because that was Bill DeWitt's thing. That's why he brought in Jeff Luhnow many moons ago, and it was very, very, very successful. And they sort of let that thing get away from them. And listen, I appreciate the fact that the Cardinals are now getting back to restoring their strength, their long-term strength. But they've caused a lot of damage to fan relations, and they know that. And I don't think Cardinals fans are spoiled. I don't think they're being unreasonable. Because there was no reason for this thing to fall apart the way that it did. And the Cardinals fans have been, you know, coming out 3 million plus strong at home for, you know, how decades, except for the COVID season. So that is the pact. That's the agreement, really, like the DeWitts have had with the fans. It's like, you support the team. You guys are great. We're going to do everything we can to keep winning. And in this case, the Cardinals kind of broke the covenant, you know, and I don't think because they're bad people. I just think they get – maybe complacency is the word. Maybe they let things get outdated. And I don't blame fans for being upset about it, because there's no excuse for the Cardinals to kind of fall into the hole they did last year. And I do think that this year they were fine, but it still wasn't good enough.
You know, the one couple of words that have been used here since Monday quite a bit is tone deaf. And, you know, I don't know what you say, because Bill DeWitt is asked, you know, how do you improve the game day experience? And he talks about, you know, better promotions. I don't know. But you do have a fan base that's very frustrated. And obviously a lot of that animosity is pointed toward Mo. So Mo staying in this transition plan that's now in place, what do you make of that?
Well, listen, John Mozeliak one day will be a Red Jacket Hall of Fame guy. His more than his first half of his tenure were just excellent. But he was part of the reason why the thing fell apart, and why they sort of, you know, they've only won, you know, one out of their last 10 postseason games. They've won four postseason games since 2016. I mean, come on, that's a big come down from where they were. There is, you know, I call it Mo fatigue. And, you know, the Mo fatigue through the years has just been growing and growing and growing, and people are just kind of burned out. So as long as Mo is there, and look, Bill DeWitt knows this. I talked to Bill DeWitt about it. But they're going to stick by him for all that he's done, and also because he went to them with a retirement plan, so they're going to honor it. But as long as Mo's there, I think it's going to be hard for them to really present the message. It's like, see, we've made changes. See, we're going in a new direction. Now, I love the Chaim Bloom hire. I wanted him to take over right away. Yeah. But I will say this. The magnitude of the job he has, which is to rebuild that farm system and the player development system, this is a huge, huge project. I can understand the reasoning of wanting him to fix that first, because, again, that's going to be the foundation of the franchise going forward.
So why do you like Chaim Bloom as much as you do?
Because he was a huge, huge part of the Tampa Bay operation, which is a model for how you win with less. And it's going to get Bill DeWitt back to what he loves, which is player development, payroll efficiency. And payroll efficiency is not a dirty phrase. Payroll efficiency just means being smart and not wasting money. And the Cardinals have really dished out a lot of bad contracts, and it's really hurt them. So that payroll efficiency and the player development just happens to be something that Chaim Bloom, those are his specialties. And, you know, if you look at his prime years there, 2008 through 2019, I mean, only four teams in the majors made the playoffs more often. And the Tampa Bay Rays, with their average payroll, it ranked 27th over all those years, sometimes 28th, 29th, 30th. They made more World Series than the New York Yankees from 2008 through 2020.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And yet, I got to tell you, I get irritated, because I hear from fans like, well, they never won a World Series. Oh, come on. The biggest payroll they ever had in a season was $77 million. And they're winning more playoff games than these huge franchises that have all the money you could ever dream of, including the Yankees, including the Red Sox. And they've even outperformed the Cardinals over all that time. The Cardinals and the Rays have been in the same number of World Series since 2008.
Ooh, and that Cardinals jumps out at you.
and you know what? And here's the number for you. Sorry, I get fired up. So the Cardinals and the Rays have been the same number of World Series since 2008. Over that time, the Cardinals spent $738 million more than the Rays.
Wow.
That's why I like Chaim Bloom.
Yeah, well, that's a good answer, by the way. Ethan had a question.
Hey, Bernie, this is Ethan. Hey, Ethan. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. So,
love it.
You know, we know that Paul Goldschmidt will not be returning, or likely won't be returning next year. We know that the front office has come out and said that payroll is going to go down. But there's also been some reports that they're going to be shopping guys like Sonny Gray, like Nolan Arenado, like Wilson Contreras. I think people are forgetting how much of a chunk of payroll, you know, Paul Goldschmidt's contract was right there, and how much that's going to be coming off the books. Do you expect the Cardinals to continue beyond just Goldie's contract coming off the books? Do you expect it to be more than just that when we are looking at a decrease in payroll?
Yeah, but Ethan, the only prediction I would make, because part of it has got to be whether, say, Sonny Gray, who's got a no trade clause, whether he wants to be traded. And if he wants to be traded, you know, they'll try to make that happen, and I would think would get a good return. You could say the same thing about Arenado, although I think he'd be harder to move because he's under contract through 2027, and he's kind of an old 33. You know, the decline signs are there. But the one thing I will predict, if they're going to rebuild the next couple of years, and it is a rebuild. They don't want to call it that, but that's what it is.
Yeah, it is.
But it's not going to be a lengthy, painful one. It's going to be relatively brief. But if you're going to do that, you have to trade Ryan Helsley because it just makes no sense. I mean, he's got a year left before he can become a free agent. He would have tremendous value on the trade market because the team acquires him will have him for a full season. For the Cardinals to keep him, and he will walk away 100% free agency after next season. For them to keep Ryan Helsley for a team that might win 78 games, 80 games, whatever, it doesn't make a lot of sense because they can get a lot for him, I do believe.
Bernie Miklas is with us this afternoon. So on the young talent question, I mean, the athletic story last week by Katie Wu was really devastating, and I think it revealed a lot of, you know, question marks even from within the organization. But when you're talking about Victor Scott and Jordan Walker and these guys that we were very excited about, are we not so excited anymore, or is there still a lot of potential there that has not been properly developed?
And I think she did a great job of bringing all these issues to light because I've talked about it, how they don't have enough coaches and instructors. They don't have the technology. They don't have the proper facilities. It's amazing how far behind the industry they were. And she brought it to life with some real, like, real quotes and real testimony. I think the Cardinals have not fully prepared their young hitters, especially for the big leagues. And they fall into some bad habits, and then the Cardinals don't seem to know how to fix them. They fired their hitting coach this morning. You know, I don't know if they've officially announced it yet, but they did. Katie Wu broke that story.
That's Turner Ward. Now, is that a sacrificial lamb move?
Well, it depends. First of all, I think they – and I don't have time to get into all of it. I'd be happy to, but it's – listen, the Cardinals had so many bad habits at the plate, were mental things, where, you know, taking there's only one team in the majors that took more called strikes than the Cardinals. It makes no sense. Mm. I mean, pitchers are throwing the ball down the middle all the time, and they're standing there. I mean, that's just not smart.
No.
I mean, that's an intelligence issue. So I think a new set of eyes working with these young guys can really make a difference. But I tell you what, here's the flip side. You fired Turner Ward, and I do think he was a problem. He wasn't getting through to the players, or he wasn't emphasizing the right thing. But if a new set of eyes comes in and they try to make these players smarter and it doesn't happen and they're still bad, that tells me your players aren't good enough.
You know, I've read your accounts throughout on the newsletter throughout the year, and I don't think you've been overly critical of Ollie. Of course, a lot of people want to just go right at the manager, and maybe there's even people this week that are disappointed that move wasn't made. But what would you say about Ollie Marmol right now? I mean, obviously, this is not his fault.
Yeah, I get in trouble with fans. They hate me because I stick up for him in some ways. I don't sit here ever and say, oh, this guy is a great man. I never say that. But he gets blamed for everything, or even the things that I think he does very well, he gets no credit for because people are just down on him. And you know why they're down on him? because they're burned out on Mo. They don't like Mo. And he's viewed as Mo's guy. And it's like, oh, he fired Schilt because that's his boy and all this stuff. So they're never going to give him a fair shake. And I'm not – some Cardinals fans will, but there's a lot that won't. But Ali Marmol this year ran the bullpen about as well as anybody did in the major leagues. And it's the only reason they had an 83-win season, because they did an incredible job of protecting leads in the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th innings. I mean, an incredible job. That team could have been a disaster without his handling of the bullpen. And, yeah, he truly did make a difference. It was one of the top 5-6 bullpens in the majors. And yet when I've brought that up, people are like, oh, you're crazy. He has no idea what he's doing. Well, I got about 25 facts to tell you he actually did really, really well with that. So I think – I hate to say this, but I think Ali Marmol's kind of doomed here. I just don't think he'll ever get a fair shake. And I do think that he does some things well. There's some things I don't like. But some of the things he gets criticized for are some of the things we see other younger managers doing with success. And in other words, he is cast by some Cardinals fans as like doing these like crazy, silly things. And actually what he's doing is trying to take advantage of the talent he has by using platoons and juggling the lineup to get better matchups. I mean, that is hardly like radical, boy, no one's ever done anything this nuts before. I'm not sure why people think that that's so...
Well,
abhorrent.
We have a passionate fan base, I guess I would say.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, great. It's a great fan base. It's a fan base. But sometimes I think, just like we in the media, I think we maybe obsess and criticize the wrong things. You know, and maybe there's sometimes it's just hard to be as fair as you should be because you're in a ticked off mood.
Let me move 4 hours across the state just briefly, because this is an incredible story. 106 loss season, and now the Royals are positioned to, you know, make more noise in the postseason. That's an incredible story, isn't it?
It is, and I tell you what, the Cardinals, the state of the Cardinals, something can be learned by what the Royals did, and I'll make it brief. The Royals, when their new baseball operations chief took over, you know, the first thing he did was, of course, put in new front office people, but also he hired a manager who came to the Tampa Bay system, the same Heim Bloom system, where analytics are a big deal, and if they're applied smartly, they'll give your team a competitive advantage. And Matt Quatraro is a total Tampa Bay analytics guy, and his players love it. And also their bench coach comes from the Tampa Bay system. But what they did, he hired J.J. Piccolo, their new general manager. He hired 30 people in one offseason, 30 people for the front office. He beefed up the scouting. He beefed up the player instruction in the minors. He greatly expanded their technology, and he almost overnight turned them into a much smarter organization that was putting the emphasis on the right thing. And then what they did is they made selective, you know, targeting free agent purchases. They spent about $111 million last offseason. And none of these things were like lavish spending. None of these things were exorbitant. They gave Bobby Witt Jr. is a superstar. He's their own guy. They gave him a huge contract, but they should have. So once they were smart enough to take advantage of all the things that they did to try to get smart, they got smart first. Then they started spending money. See, the Cardinals' problem has been spending money, throwing away money, making mistakes. And now it's like, oh, now we got to get smart. They had it the other way around. You get smart first, you get smart, you get the player development thing rolling, then you spend the money.
I love it. Bernie, it's so great to have you as part of the family here at Odyssey, doing some stuff on Camo X, and thanks so much. You know I'm a fan and have been for a long time. So thanks for jumping
Likewise.
On here with me, and we'll see. How do you feel about Mizzou tomorrow? Got a gut check there?
I don't know. I think they're going to win a tight one, but I'm not. I'd be lying. I'm not real confident.
No, me neither.
I don't know what it is. I'm just not confident.
I'm not either. I just don't like the way the offenses look. But look, they've had the bye week, gives me a little bit more hope. Bernie, have a great weekend.
Mark, thanks for having me on. Anytime, buddy. It's
all
good
right.
to be with you again.
I appreciate that. I love him, and I miss him from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, but I look at all the, you know, he was doing the stuff with Scoops with Danny Mac and the
That's
newswriter,
right.
and I always love his analysis, so it's great to have him here on The Family. He's doing some hits on KMOX on Mondays and Fridays, I think. Thank you, Bernie Miklas. We got Rick Wakeman from the band Yes, who's coming to St. Louis at the Sheldon, coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.